Hey, Julia.
What you doing?
I'm going through my stack of papers. It's been stacking up pretty big. Been stacking up over like the last like 6 months, and I really don't know what's in it. So, gonna see if there's anything important in it.
What about the podcast?
Oh yeah, we just put out an episode.
Yeah, it's the last one.
The season finale. Oh,
Why am I the one thinking of this?
are you a podcast nerd now?
No.
I think you're a podcast nerd.
I'm not a podcast nerd.
You said
I'm just
in the
organized.
beginning of the season, you said you didn't want to be a podcast nerd, and now you're interrupting me with a podcast idea.
Okay, so you know that you recommended me this one podcast
Podcast
and I
nerd,
listened to it.
podcast nerd.
Stop. Anyway, I was thinking you could write it.
Wow, so you come into my room and tell me, don't touch me. You come into my room
Our room.
and tell me to write a podcast episode for you while I'm
For
going through
us.
my papers.
For us.
All right, I'll do
Our
it.
papers.
How big are we talking? We was like just like you, me, and like a couple of our friends.
No, this one's gonna be a beefer.
What?
A big.
Like a big,
A big pound of
the
beef.
big cheese
chicken and
that
beef.
we're going out with a bang.
Going out with a bacon.
Going out with a bake. Are you hungry?
Chicken. Yes, I'm very hungry.
Why don't we eat and then I'll get to writing in this and we can do this podcast.
Okay. Hello. My name is Serena Douglas, and I'm a reporter for SPR, who have been very generous in letting me investigate this story. Many of you have heard the story of Lemon Village, or at least what we all know from the news. But I'm here to go deeper than we ever have before. Because I've always felt that we don't know the truth about what happened in Lemon Village all those months ago. So here are the facts we have. On December 31st, 2015, local police from the surrounding Wisconsin towns received several emergency calls from Lemon Village.
Sconeyville Police Department, what's your emergency? Hello? Is someone there? What's your emergency?
It's all gone!
Ma'am, where are you calling from?
Lemon Village!
Ma'am? Hello? With all due respect, ma'am, I'm going to need more information than that. Please let me know if I have the correct address. Sorry, ma'am, hold on. Where are you going? McDonald's? Why would you go there if Culver's is closer? No, they have those little snack meals that are cheaper now. No, I'd probably just get some curds if you're going. Do you have change? Well, can you get me change, Bob? Curds don't cost $5, Bob. You're being ridiculous. How do you think I feel? I thought you were being a friend by getting me curds. No, I'm not saying we're not friends.
The call goes on for 2 minutes like that. The dispatcher eventually gets their cheese curds, and Bob agrees that they can pay him back on Monday. Shortly after this call, squad cars from three different towns, including ambulances and fire trucks, showed up to the gates of Lemon Village, which was about 30 minutes away from Madison, Wisconsin. According to early reports, the FBI had already beaten them to it, which seemed normal at the time, so many of the emergency responders just stuck to crowd control from nearby neighbors and news reporters.
I'm reporting live from outside Lemon Village, where several urgent yet vague calls were made to emergency services about 30 minutes ago. We're going to try to get in closer here. Oh, nope, the officer did not like that. Let's go ahead and see if we can sneak in. Hi, I'm actually a reporter for... If we could just get a look inside Lemon Village. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it appears that we are not going to be allowed in Lemon Village because a very tall police officer is standing in my way. Sir, would you care to comment on the situation here?
No.
All right, there you have it, folks. You heard it here first, folks. We'll keep you updated, folks.
One news helicopter in the sky was able to get a bird's eye view before the area was deemed a no-fly zone. They reported not being able to see any people because the power had been cut. The only source of light coming from inside Lemon Village was a single fire. It was engulfing a heaping pile in the town square.
You know, this day is probably going to go down as some tragic event, but I have to tell you all, it is super damn pretty from up here. That big heaping pile of fire, gosh, what a sight for sore eyes. What? We're on the air now?
Within 6 hours, the FBI packed up and left, leaving the gates of Lemon Village wide open. When reporters, neighbors, and family members were able to look inside, they didn't find anyone. All 269 citizens of Lemon Village had vanished. When asked to comment, the FBI claimed they had nothing to do with the incident and condemned the police for not probing more with the people who were falsely claiming to be the FBI. No traces could be found of the citizens of Lemon Village. No belongings were left behind, nor any evidence that anyone had lived there to begin with. The citizens just vanished. The story made national headlines.
269 citizens of Lemon Village are still missing and nowhere to be found.
That many people can't just disappear like that. Not in the middle of rural Wisconsin.
All I'm saying is that I'm not ruling out the rapture or aliens. Maybe both, maybe neither. What were we talking about again?
I should mention here that one of the citizens of Lemon Village was my cousin. But that was not what actually drew me to this story. Actually, I had no idea that she was even a citizen until I started looking into it. My uncle never really liked me, so he usually kept her from seeing me, which is fine, because I heard this one time how he gave her a car for free and she complained that it was more red than she thought it was gonna be, so she didn't drive it. So yeah, it sucks that she's missing, but maybe it's fine. Anyway, what drew me to the story was all the mystery surrounding it. What was Lemon Village? Who are the people posing as FBI agents? And how do 269 people go missing for over a year? Some of my questions, fortunately, were able to be answered.
Lemon Village was Len Buckner's passion project. He loved that little town.
That's Francis Verkoff, Len Buckner's biographer. We'll get back to him in a moment, but first, some background on Len Buckner and why he's important to this story. Len Buckner was an up-and-coming entrepreneur, and he had successfully started a business selling quirky cell phone cases online for smartphones that made your smartphone look like an old-fashioned hamburger phone, or like those see-through phones people had. But he began to make his real money when he received his father's trust fund, which had required him to start a business before accessing it. Then his father passed away shortly after releasing that, so Len Buckner became very loaded very fast.
Here's a guy that was about to turn 30. His only successful business was selling hamburger phone cases for cell phones. And that was only successful because that one clothing store, the one with the naked people. They bought them all and then had to discount them because they didn't sell. Buckner had money to spend, and he had an idea. And that idea was Lemon Village.
What was Lemon Village supposed to be?
A social network that's come alive.
Excuse me?
I know, but that's how he told it to me. He would always go on that we could be even more connected to each other somehow. You could remind him about Facebook and Twitter, and he'd just wave his hand at you and say, we could do better. Be careful giving a 29-year-old billions of dollars, right?
I'm 29.
Right. I was just kidding, sorry.
But for Buckner's idea of Lemon Village to become reality, he needed someone with the smarts and the know-how to accomplish his vision. Enter Angela Hummel.
No, they weren't lovers. I think Angela made out with him at a party in college once. And Buckner was infatuated ever since. Yeah, that look on your face, I had that about all the time with Len. He was kind of a dick.
Angela Hummel had attended the University of Wisconsin-Madison with Len. She graduated with a double major in psychology and computer science and went to grad school to further her studies in computer science. This raised lots of questions for me, as I couldn't understand why someone who was so smart would partner up with someone who is so, so dumb.
That's because she was kind of a dick, too. Yeah, Angela Hummel just used Len so she could be the researcher or something. She was living with her parents before and needed a resume builder. It's not that complicated.
Oh, it's just that her Facebook post when she accepted the position said she was ready to change the world.
And how many likes did it get? I bet you hundreds. Like you said, Angela was smart.
In March of 2015, Angela Hummel accepted the position of head researcher for the project known as Lemon Village. Buckner had the town built near his alma mater for all the researchers he was inviting to the project.
They didn't spare a single penny on this place either. Well, it's anything you could dream of having, they had it.
That's Carl Birchwood, a reporter from the Sconeyville Herald, who was there the night of the disappearance. He agreed to meet me outside of Lemon Village and to even give me a tour inside.
Buckner wanted the best of the best to work for him, and I guess he saw this as a way of getting it.
Why Wisconsin, though?
Oh, he tried other places, outside of L.A., Austin, New Orleans, even Portland. Wisconsin was the only one he could get the right permits for.
Why would other states not want him to have his complex there?
Too much electricity, too much water. Doesn't help that every house had a heated indoor pool.
Seriously?
There's a nightclub, an Asian fusion restaurant, a gym with CrossFit. Anything a smart, young researcher could ask for. You ready to go inside?
This was my first time getting a look at Lemon Village firsthand. Carl was right. The town felt like a cross between your average suburb and the hippest neighborhood you could think of, but all abandoned. I walked past an arcade bar that had a thick layer of dust on the windows and an organic vegan convenience store that had been emptied of all of its produce. It was eerie, to say the least.
Ignore all the ghost town vibes and all the graffiti. A lot of dicks for some reason. Kids in this area must really like dicks.
This is incredible. It looks like a real town.
I think it was.
Are you okay?
It's just weird being here. I can only imagine what the families had to go through.
Luckily, I was able to get in touch with many of the family members.
Yes, my son lives in Lemon Village.
I remember the call. My sister told me she was moving to Lemon Village.
My grandson kept going on about this Lemon Village and how they were going to change the world. And I was thinking, good, I've been waiting for you to move out since you graduated college.
Well, Lindsay, my niece, she sent me an Instagram message when she first got there. I haven't opened it since then.
Because it's too emotional?
Oh gosh, no. I just don't know how to work the damn app. It's too confusing with all the filters, and I don't know why my niece couldn't just email me.
I just keep thanking God that she finally found a job. You have to understand, my daughter was a handful to deal with, okay? She was smart as hell, but rude as the devil. And she had this shrill voice that made you pee a little bit if you got too loud.
Who? Oh, yeah, my cousin was in that place. Who's asking? Are you a cop? You have to tell me if you're a cop.
She kept calling in the beginning. She seemed happy, which was great because she was usually very irritable.
Well, that's the kind of person she was, though. She didn't care that you didn't insta-twit or whatever. It was her way or the highway, and pardon my French, but she was a pain in the B-U-T-T.
Oh, my son was a piece of shit. I was, of course, happy he was working and not living with me. He posted on the Facebook that he was just making new friends. I just laughed. Who in the hell could ever like a garbage person like my son?
I love my grandson, but he was just one of those guys that wouldn't last long in the wild, you know? Like, he was book smart, sure, but... other than that, dumb. Dumb as hell. Conversation with him was worse than the Great Depression.
You were alive during the Great Depression?
No, but I imagine conversation with my dumb grandson would be much worse.
The most surprising finding in my interviews with the family members was how they all shared the same feelings about whether or not their family members were still alive.
Maybe. Hell if I know. That boy was scum of the earth. Real sketchy kind of guy, so maybe.
No. Probably not. That's why I assumed the calls and Facebook posts stopped. I always kind of figured someone would get fed up with her attitude and kill her. It sucks, but that's life for you.
No, my grandson is definitely dead. Too dumb. Surprised he made it this far.
Now, I am a God-fearing woman, but if I am being honest, I really hope not.
No, no way. Definitely dead. No doubt about it. Super dead. Dead as a nail.
Oh boy, you kidding me? If my cousin is alive and missed this past Christmas, they should just die. Because if Grandma found out, she'd cut them up like her Christmas ham.
Who are you talking to?
Some girl asking about Johnny.
What the hell do they want to know about Johnny for? Are they a cop? You know they have to tell you if they're a cop.
Ma, you don't think I didn't ask that? Why do you always have to do that?
Yeah, that's pretty common with cases like these.
That special agent Roger McLeod, who is tasked with heading the investigation into Lemon Village.
See, there's a reason the news stopped talking about Lemon Village, and why most people forgot it even happened. It's because all the residents of the place were terrible people.
Terrible people?
Well, not like actual terrible, but just annoying as hell. I made a profile of all the residents, every last one. All of them were in the mid to late 20s. They were entitled little brats that were unfortunately very smart and educated.
Was this on purpose?
Probably not. Len Buckner was used to running his hamburger phone business, so he interviewed all the people himself. I was able to find someone online who was not picked for Lemon Village. They said Buckner asked if they could be any character from Entourage, who would it be?
Agent McLeod showed me the other questions that the rejected applicant relayed to him. Other questions included, can you describe your ideal squad? What's your favorite flavor of bubble tea? And if your boss asked you to work on a Saturday, what emoji would you use to react to that? But none of this was getting me anywhere closer to the truth about Lemon Village. It was public and out in the open. The residents were making social media posts from within the village for a while. But unfortunately, with no known survivors, the day-to-day remained a mystery to me. That is, until I received a phone call from Carl again.
Serena, you won't believe what happened to me today.
Carl, slow down. What's going on?
It's incredible. I had to call you. I found a $2 bill.
What?
Yeah, it was just lying on the ground near Culver's.
That's awesome, Carl. I thought that this was going to be about Lemon Village.
Oh, shoot, I almost forgot to tell you. A survivor called.
What?
Yeah. I gave him your number. I hope that's okay.
Carl, that's amazing.
I know, right? Should I, like, frame the $2 bill? Like, you don't find these often, you know? Like, where do you get them?
I waited for 2 hours, but eventually I got the call that Carl had arranged.
Am I speaking to Serena Douglas?
This is.
It's amazing. I've been waiting for quite some time to talk to you, you know?
Me?
Serena, I want to waste no time. Can you meet tonight?
The survivor was named Elizabeth Koenig, and if you're wondering, we did cross-reference her picture with her Facebook profile and it came out to be a match. It was actually her, the first survivor of Lemon Village to ever come forward. She had me meet her in Chicago, Illinois, where she was standing on a milk crate on Michigan Avenue. She had a microphone hooked up to a speaker.
And I have news for you folks. Jesus is not only alive, and he is not only your savior, but he is your friend. He friended you on Facebook even before you had a Facebook. He was in your top 8 before Tom from MySpace even took his looking over the shoulder picture. In the beginning, God tweeted one word, and that word was Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Pastor Lizzie and I sat at the dining area at a nearby Target. She held her white chocolate mocha in her gloved hands. She was dressed in white and wore a galaxy print stole. We were not able to verify that she was ordained, but she insisted that we call her a pastor.
You have to understand, the work we were doing in Lemon Village, it was big. Too big for the public to handle. We didn't want to release another imperfect social media like the other tech giants.
So you were all working on a new social media?
You could say that.
Well, you basically just did.
You ever walk on the street, Serena, and see something awesome, but you don't pull out your phone because your camera app takes way too long to load?
Yeah, I guess.
Or do you want to post something on Facebook, but it would take away attention from the friends you're hanging with?
Sure.
Len and Angela wanted to fix all that. They wanted to make the ultimate social media.
Wait, so that's what Lemon Village was built for?
You know, pigs and humans share a lot of similarities. That's why we tested on them first.
You tested on pigs?
That's why they brought me in. I was the researcher knew most on pigs. Did my dissertation on them. Even brought in my own pet pig named Donald.
Donald?
Yeah, after Donald Driver. I'm a huge Packers fan.
Oh, I thought maybe it was political.
What?
Never mind.
The early technology, it was simple. Donald and the other pigs could upload their feelings onto a virtual wall via the technology that was implanted in their brains. Yep, you heard me correct. You can be shocked. I was too.
Honestly, I feel like I've heard this before, so it's not that surprising.
Yep, we got them to transfer their thoughts onto a virtual wall. Pretty freaking clever. It was simple stuff, like that they were hungry or horny. It was mainly those two, really. The feed got boring after a day. So they wanted to increase it, see what the pigs could do with uploading photos and videos to the virtual wall from their memories.
That's pretty incredible, actually.
It was, but Angela and Len wanted more. So they gave the pigs full access to the beta version of the new social network, BrainTwerk.
I'm sorry, what is it called?
BrainTwerk. Like brain plus network, BrainTwerk. So the pigs had full access. They were direct messaging each other, putting filters on their photos, still posting about how hungry and horny they were. Except Donald. He often would post about me. I think it made him sad I wasn't on the network. We hadn't tried human trials yet, but I couldn't stand him being sad.
So you got the implant too?
stopped using Facebook that very day. There's no need when you've got the very best social network in your head. Donald and I would direct message each other all day. I could make him laugh with that deer filter. That boy would lose his shit over my high-pitched voice.
So it was a success.
Yeah, until the rest of the citizens got it. Donald ended up getting sad. He didn't understand hashtags, and politics confused him a lot. He ended up deleting his profile, said he needed to take a break for a little while.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine. I know he didn't do it to hurt me. It was just hard to talk to him after that. We grew apart. So I have the name of the next survivor you're supposed to talk to. Assistant researcher to Angela. But I need to make sure you really want to know the truth about Lemon Village. And really think about that before you answer. Like, seriously, mull it over before you continue this investigation. After you leave me today, fully consider the consequences.
Yeah, Lizzie, I'm sure.
Then may the Lord bless you with likes and hearts.
This is Serena Douglas reporting for SPR. Someone has been pounding on my door for the past 5 minutes. I'm recording this in case anything happens to me. Mom, Dad, I just want to say that I... Oh, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. My producer forgot to turn off his phone.
Hello? Julia?
Alex, seriously, this is the last thing we have to record.
It's for us.
What?
I don't know. Here, I'll put it on speaker.
Julia! Alec? Having fun with your podcast yet?
Alec, what the hell is this?
I don't know.
Julia? Alec? Julia? Alec?
Who are you?
Alec, is this part of the show?
I didn't write this in, if that's what you're asking.
You didn't plan this?
You guys are out of Wheat Thins. Julia and Alec, why didn't you buy any Wheat Thins for me?
He's in the kitchen.
Alec, wait! Be careful!
Yeah, no one was in the kitchen, so I don't know what that was about. Let's just do credits.
This episode was Lemon Village, our season finale!
Everyone we had in this season was in this episode. We had Eric Wigg,
Steph Callahan,
Jacob Barbeau,
Josh Leeper,
Jenna Wallander,
Grant Jigot,
Lucia Reard,
Matthew Holter,
Ryan Sitzberger,
Kristen Hallen,
and Rebecca Trombley.
Seriously, thank you so much for lending your insanely talented voices to our little podcast.
It means so much to us.
Meow, 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 meow.
Our credit song this entire season was Anthem by Evan Schaefer. There was a lot of music in this episode, so as usual, we'll put that in the show notes.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
Did this sound familiar to you? That's because we were lovingly parroting Limetown, which is kind of parroting Serial in a way, at least the style of it. Maybe that's just us.
Anyways, there's only one season. It's kind of a cliffhanger that might never get resolved, but you should totally listen to it.
If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, you could make us the happiest little smadums in the world if you just gave us a rating and a review. We would love it if we could reach more listeners, and that's an awesome way to make that happen.
If you're listening to us elsewhere, then use the share button to spread our podcast even more. And if you're feeling frisky, maybe tweet at Stitcher and ask them to fix our podcast.
Now, most of the season, we've told you to support us on this little thing called Patreon, and maybe we didn't quite explain what that means. For just $1 a month, you'll get our undying gratitude and bonus episodes, and for $5, you'll get all of that and more, like behind-the-scenes looks at Season 1 and what we're planning for Season 2.
We mentioned the bonus episodes. We're releasing a bunch in the off-season. You're going to hear from that radio DJ before he dies, and we're definitely not zombies, outtakes from the various scripted episodes, and even more. But we're only releasing them to our patrons. So if you can't get enough of this podcast, go to patreon.com/madamproductions.
And of course, if you like this podcast, you can check out all of our other episodes and our other work, all available at smadamproductions.com.
We did it.
We made a podcast.
We made a podcast. We're podcast famous now.
Damn.
It's really weird being famous.
I like it.
I'm into it. I get shouted at all the time on the streets. People are like, hey, you do that podcast.
Everybody knows who we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
You want to go go outside and mess with the paparazzi real quick?
Paparazzi.
Paparazzi, here we come.
Pew, pew, pew.